Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела аудирования перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего AF и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Speaker A.
Even with the falling euro, getting around Europe, to my mind, can still be fairly expensive, especially if you're traveling long distances or miss out on that killer fare from Ryanair. I sometimes get sick to my stomach at how much transportation can cost even for short distances. But despite the high-valued euro, high transportation costs, and general expensiveness of Europe, there are still some ways to travel around.
Speaker B. Busabout is a hop-on, hop-off bus service similar to the Oz experience in Australia that is primarily used by backpackers. You can get on and off whenever you want along one of their set routes. Then, you can buy tickets that let you travel their whole network with a set number of stops. For example, you can buy a 9-day bus pass, which gives you 9 stops from your starting city. Those stops can be wherever you want, for as long as you want. Speaker C.
Budget airlines are by far the cheapest option for getting around Europe for me. They're so prolific that competition helps keep fares cheap. You can find tickets where the fare is just the taxes. Companies like Transavia or EasyJet offer mind-blowingly cheap flights across Europe. Just remember to book at least a month early to scoop up great deals. There are also regular sales, especially during the off-season. Follow the rules and travel cheap.
Speaker D. The best organization for international bus travel for me is Eurolines, and it'll take you across Europe. Every country has its own bus service, but for international trips, I usually choose Eurolines. Well, in Europe, buses are cheaper than trains. The downside to bus travel is that instead of a roomier train, you're cramped on a tiny bus. For this reason, I tend to pay a bit more and travel by train. But if you have to save up, buses are the way to go. Speaker E.
The best way to travel for cheap is not to pay for it at all. Hitchhiking is quite common in Europe, and I've met a number of travelers who have done it. I myself traveled this way in Bulgaria. It was really cool. But of course, it's important to use your head when hitchhiking. Just because someone stops doesn't mean you need to get in their car. Alternatively, there are websites where you can ask for rides, so long as you pitch in for gas.
Speaker F. The cheapest way to travel around Europe is by bus or budget airline. But what it really comes down to is planning. The earlier you book your bus, plane, or train ticket, the cheaper it will be. last-minute or high-speed train and bus fares are double what they cost during early bookings. Ryanair fares can go from £1 to £50 in a day. So the key to traveling around Europe cheaply is planning. Plan, book in advance, and save.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again.
Speaker A.
Even with the falling euro, getting around Europe, to my mind, can still be fairly expensive, especially if you're traveling long distances or miss out on that killer fare from Ryanair. I sometimes get sick to my stomach at how much transportation can cost even for short distances. But despite the high-valued euro, high transportation costs, and general expensiveness of Europe, there are still some ways to travel around.
Speaker B. Busabout is a hop-on, hop-off bus service similar to the Oz experience in Australia that is primarily used by backpackers. You can get on and off whenever you want along one of their set routes. Then, you can buy tickets that let you travel their whole network with a set number of stops. For example, you can buy a 9-day bus pass, which gives you 9 stops from your starting city. Those stops can be wherever you want, for as long as you want. Speaker C.
Budget airlines are by far the cheapest option for getting around Europe for me. They're so prolific that competition helps keep fares cheap. You can find tickets where the fare is just the taxes. Companies like Transavia or EasyJet offer mind-blowingly cheap flights across Europe. Just remember to book at least a month early to scoop up great deals. There are also regular sales, especially during the off-season. Follow the rules and travel cheap.
Speaker D. The best organization for international bus travel for me is Eurolines, and it'll take you across Europe. Every country has its own bus service, but for international trips, I usually choose Eurolines. Well, in Europe, buses are cheaper than trains. The downside to bus travel is that instead of a roomier train, you're cramped on a tiny bus. For this reason, I tend to pay a bit more and travel by train. But if you have to save up, buses are the way to go. Speaker E.
The best way to travel for cheap is not to pay for it at all. Hitchhiking is quite common in Europe, and I've met a number of travelers who have done it. I myself traveled this way in Bulgaria. It was really cool. But of course, it's important to use your head when hitchhiking. Just because someone stops doesn't mean you need to get in their car. Alternatively, there are websites where you can ask for rides, so long as you pitch in for gas.
Speaker F. The cheapest way to travel around Europe is by bus or budget airline. But what it really comes down to is planning. The earlier you book your bus, plane, or train ticket, the cheaper it will be. Last-minute or high-speed train and bus fares are double what they cost during early bookings. Ryanair fares can go from £1 to £50 in a day. So the key to traveling around Europe cheaply is planning. Plan, book in advance, and save.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Mom, I'm back.
Hi, darling. How was school?
Not bad. Actually, it was great.
And what made it great?
Our biology teacher. She said that next class is going to be a field trip to a mystic aquarium, which is very large and has all kinds of animals, birds, and reptiles.
That sounds terrific. I've been there with your dad once. I can still remember how excited I was when I learned that the parrot I was holding could repeat after me.
Wow! What about Dad? Was he impressed?
Believe me, he was. But not with parrots. The aquarium has a live event several times a day. We visited the one with the beluga contact program. Your dad was brave enough to get into the water with the beluga whales. He was fit for the adventure, and then he stood next to them and heard them vocalize and breathe. He even touched their tongue.
You're kidding!
I'm not. You'll love it.
I'm not going to swim with them. They're too big and too scary for me. I'm looking forward to the tanks with the fish. Our teacher says that they're dimly lit, and that they are endless and are filled with every kind of fish that I can think of.
She's right. Moreover, the aquarium also has few outside displays in round water tanks that you can look over and actually see the animals jump. The best thing about these tanks is the fact that you can actually touch their backs.
I'd love to hold a baby alligator and have my picture taken with it.
If I'm not mistaken, you'd be able to. There are several booths where you can hold an animal and get a photo of the event. I'll give you some money.
Thank you. I also heard that there's a hidden Amazon exhibit that includes snakes, bats, frogs, lizards, plants, piranhas, tarantulas, and birds.
Yes, it's a wonderful nature walk with handrails and benches to rest if needed. The scenery is absolutely beautiful, and you are able to see how the wildlife live.
The teacher says that the ticket agent will stamp your ticket so you can go back the following 2 days for free. Can you go with me? Please?
Bob, you know that I need to plan it in advance. Your next class is on Wednesday, isn't it?
Actually, it's on Thursday, but I know we can't make it on Friday, can we?
We'll both be busy that day. Let's try Saturday.
Great! Thanks, Mom! You now have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again. Mom, I'm back.
Hi, darling. How was school?
Not bad. Actually, it was great.
And what made it great?
Our biology teacher. She said that next class is going to be a field trip to a mystic aquarium, which is very large and has all kinds of animals, birds, and reptiles.
That sounds terrific. I've been there with your dad once. I can still remember how excited I was when I learned that the parrot I was holding could repeat after me.
Wow! What about Dad? Was he impressed?
Believe me, he was. But not with parrots. The aquarium has a live event several times a day. We visited the one with the beluga contact program. Your dad was brave enough to get into the water with the beluga whales. He was fit for the adventure, and then he stood next to them and heard them vocalize and breathe. He even touched their tongue.
You're kidding!
I'm not. You'll love it.
I'm not going to swim with them. They're too big and too scary for me. I'm looking forward to the tanks with the fish. Our teacher says that they're dimly lit, and that they are endless and are filled with every kind of fish that I can think of.
She's right. Moreover, the aquarium also has few outside displays in round water tanks that you can look over and actually see the animals jump. The best thing about these tanks is the fact that you can actually touch their backs.
I'd love to hold a baby alligator and have my picture taken with it.
If I'm not mistaken, you'd be able to. There are several booths where you can hold an animal and get a photo of the event. I'll give you some money.
Thank you. I also heard that there's a hidden Amazon exhibit that includes snakes, bats, frogs, lizards, plants, piranhas, tarantulas, and birds.
Yes, it's a wonderful nature walk with handrails and benches to rest if needed. The scenery is absolutely beautiful, and you are able to see how the wildlife live.
The teacher says that the ticket agent will stamp your ticket so you can go back the following 2 days for free. Can you go with me? Please?
Bob, you know that I need to plan it in advance. Your next class is on Wednesday, isn't it?
Actually, it's on Thursday, but I know we can't make it on Friday, can we?
We'll both be busy that day. Let's try Saturday.
Great! Thanks, Mom! This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our program, The World Around Us. Today we are talking with Michael Ferry, a physicist at Georgetown University, about time and the history of timekeeping devices. Hello, Michael. It's a pleasure to see you today. Thanks for coming.
Morning, everyone. I'm so happy to be here with all of you on such a special day. Today we are celebrating the 300-year anniversary of Carl Linnaeus's birth.
Michael, if I'm not mistaken, Carl Linnaeus was a Swedish botanist and zoologist, and his scientific research wasn't connected with physics or clocks.
Molly, you are right and wrong at the same time. It's true that he devoted his life to collection and classification of plants, animals, and minerals, and now he is thought to be the father of modern taxonomy and ecology. However, Linnaeus also made use of his knowledge while constructing the first floral, or flower, clock. Look, I have a picture of a modern floral clock with me.
Oh, I see. It's really beautiful, though I don't see the clock.
Yeah, you know, flower clocks are not just a large decorative clock with the clock face made of flowers and two arrows in the center, like the ones in major cities today. Real Linnaeus floral clocks do not have that circle shape, and you don't need arrows to tell time. Being a botanist, he took advantage of several plants that open or close their flowers at particular times of the day to accurately indicate the time. Having studied them from around 1731 to 1750, he finally proposed the concept in 1751. He may never have planted such a garden, but the idea appealed to several botanical gardens, and they tried to construct floral clocks in the early 19th century, but with no great success.
Why? Was it difficult to find flowers and plant them?
Well, the accuracy of such a clock is highly affected by weather and seasonal conditions. Look, we are in the middle of May, but the average daytime temperature is below 15 degrees Celsius, so most of the flowers that are normally in blossom still haven't come into bloom. Moreover, Linnaeus based his measurements on flowering times in the city where he lived. So many of the plants given in his list do not flower at the same season in other places.
It's a pity we can't construct such a floral clock in our park. I think it would inspire many people today.
Actually, Andrew Marvel was so amazed at the beauty of the clock that he even described it in his poem called The Garden, some 30 years before Linnaeus's death. He wrote, "How well the skillful gardener drew of flowers and herbs this dial new, where from above the milder sun does through a fragrant zodiac run, and as it works, through industrious bee, computes its time as well as we. How could such sweet and wholesome hours be reckoned but with herbs and flowers?"
Fantastic! Unfortunately, our time's up. We'll be back in a week with our last program for this month. Michael, thank you for coming.
My pleasure. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our program, The World Around Us. Today we are talking with Michael Ferry, a physicist at Georgetown University, about time and the history of timekeeping devices. Hello, Michael. It's a pleasure to see you today. Thanks for coming.
Morning, everyone. I'm so happy to be here with all of you on such a special day. Today we are celebrating the 300-year anniversary of Carl Linnaeus's birth.
Michael, if I'm not mistaken, Carl Linnaeus was a Swedish botanist and zoologist, and his scientific research wasn't connected with physics or clocks.
Molly, you are right and wrong at the same time. It's true that he devoted his life to collection and classification of plants, animals, and minerals, and now he is thought to be the father of modern taxonomy and ecology. However, Linnaeus also made use of his knowledge while constructing the first floral or flower clock. Look, I have a picture of a modern floral clock with me.
Oh, I see. It's really beautiful, though I don't see the clock.
Yeah, you know, flower clocks are not just a large decorative clock with the clock face made of flowers and two arrows in the center, like the ones in major cities today. Real Linnaeus floral clocks do not have that circle shape, and you don't need arrows to tell time. Being a botanist, he took advantage of several plants that open or close their flowers at particular times of the day to accurately indicate the time. Having studied them from around 1731 to 1750, he finally proposed the concept in 1751. He may never have planted such a garden, but the idea appealed to several botanical gardens, and they tried to construct floral clocks in the early 19th century, but with no great success.
Why? Was it difficult to find flowers and plant them?
Well, The accuracy of such a clock is highly affected by weather and seasonal conditions. Look, we are in the middle of May, but the average daytime temperature is below 15 degrees Celsius, so most of the flowers that are normally in blossom still haven't come into bloom. Moreover, Linnaeus based his measurements on flowering times in the city where he lived. So many of the plants given in his list do not flower at the same season in other places.
It's a pity we can't construct such a floral clock in our park. I think it would inspire many people today.
Actually, Andrew Marvel was so amazed at the beauty of the clock that he even described it in his poem called The Garden, some 30 years before Linnaeus' death. He wrote, "How well the skillful gardener drew of flowers and herbs this dial new, where from above the milder sun does through a fragrant zodiac run, and as it works, through industrious bee, computes its time as well as we. How could such sweet and wholesome hours be reckoned but with herbs and flowers?"
Fantastic! Unfortunately, our time's up. We'll be back in a week with our last program for this month. Michael, thank you for coming.
My pleasure. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.